Well, we thank the Lord for giving us an opportunity to be together today. And just to look at some scripture in Revelation chapter 20, if you would please turn where that will help us to be encouraged to understand. You know, we live in a battle. We live in a situation where there's a battle going on. There's a spiritual battle going on all the time. We don't recognize it sometimes. We see the changes coming from people making changes that we don't like. But it's always a spiritual being behind what's going on in today's turmoil and the things that are happening all over the world. There's situations that we don't agree with, but we know that there's something else going on in the background. One of my favorite chapters in Revelation, and I have a few of them, is 20. Because it talks about the devil and that the devil will pay. That's the title of our message today. The devil will pay. And we know that he's going to pay for all the wickedness that he's been doing for these many thousands of years. For all the sin that he's brought into people's lives. From all the temptations that he's brought to Christians. He's going to pay for all that one day. And we see that he's going to pay in chapter 20. And that's what I like about that. But one thing we need to realize is that sometimes people will pay for him or on his behalf. And we don't want that to happen. That's why we want people to believe in Jesus Christ. We want people to know that their sins can be forgiven. They don't have to serve Satan. They don't have to be his slave. They don't have to be bound by Satan and his laws anymore. They can be free through the blood of Jesus Christ if they'll just accept him as their Savior and realize that they have an eternity with Jesus instead of him. But we have a situation going on since day one when the devil was cast out and onto this earth, that he is going to pay for what he's done. And he tries to drag as many people he can away from God and away from believing in God so that he can have more people join him in his ultimate demise. And what we see here is the devil will pay for what he's done. We don't want to pay for him on his behalf. We need to keep ourselves away from what he's been doing and what he's going to do, so that we can allow him to pay for the crimes himself and not be involved in what he wants us to do. So the first thing we see here in chapter 20 is that Satan's name is identified. It says here in verse number 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. We see Satan's name is identified. We go through the scriptures, you realize in Isaiah that when Satan, before he wanted to be God and be in a place of God and kick God off the throne, his name was Lucifer, and he was a beautiful being. He was one of the most beautiful, mighty angels that they had in heaven at the time. And then when he sinned against God, he was cast out of heaven, and he was brought to the earth where he was going to roam to and fro and up and down through this earth until this time comes in Revelation 20. And we see that his name was changed from Lucifer to Satan, or the devil, the serpent, and also the dragon. These are all symbolisms of what Satan represents, what he is in this world, and what we can expect from him. Anytime that we know that Satan's in our life, we know that certain serpent came in without our knowing and come into our life and try to cause issues in our life. Did you ever invite a snake into your house? But weren't you surprised when you saw it there? It'll get your attention. Oh, Subtlefoot over there, Slewfoot, he tries to come in, he tries to sneak in our life and tries to be there unnoticed and tries to cause conflict in our life. And we know he's that serpent that we don't want in our life. We don't want him in our house. And we'll get him out of there once we see him, but sometimes we don't know he's there. Sometimes he's in the shadows. Sometimes he's in the background. Sometimes he's doing stuff with other people, causing them to cause us problems, and we don't see the serpent, we see that person. His name is the serpent. He is that dragon, the Bible tells, that devil and Satan. He's going to be bound for 1,000 years. The Bible tells us that his name is identified, so we'll know who he is. We don't want to give glory to Satan. We want to recognize, though, who he is and what to call him when we have him in our life or near us. We know what he is, and we know what he's capable of. So we see here his name is identified. We also see that his job is identified. Let's read the rest of that, some of those verses. There. And he cast him, in verse number 3, into the bottomless pit, and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So we see that what Satan does, his job is to deceive the nations. His job is to make you believe, as a believer in Christ, or even the non-believers, the lost out there, to realize that the truth is not in the gospel, the truth is not in Jesus Christ, that you can believe what you want to believe and everything's okay. You can live your life as a Christian any way you want. You don't have to follow his rules. He wants to deceive you as a believer to recognize it, so you'll see that you don't have to be faithful. You can follow your own desires. You can do what you want to do. You can have as much extramarital affairs as you want. You're not going to have to pay for anything that you do. Your sins are covered. Why not just be like you want to be? Have as much in this world as you want. Buy as much as you want in this world. Do as much as you want in this world. And just know one day when you die, you're going to meet Jesus. Yeah, you're going to meet him all right. The Bible tells us we're going to give an account for everything that we've done on here as a Christian. You're not going to get away with any of that with Jesus. We talked about that in our Sunday school class on how as parents, we can't allow our children to continue to disobey us, because they don't obey God either. If they don't know how to learn to obey us, how are they going to obey God? If we allow them to get away with stuff, they're going to think God's going to allow them to get away with stuff, and he's not. And God's not going to allow us to get away with any of that. Satan's job is to deceive the nations. He's turning the people, even right now, the lost people, to believe that they don't need Jesus. All they need to do is try to be good. You know, the Bible tells us that we're all sinners. But you know, the world tells us that tries to redefine sin all the time. Some people, when you mention sin, they think, oh, sin means that you're a prostitute. No. Or sin means that you killed somebody. No. Or maybe sin means that you're just impure. Well, kind of. You know, in the Bible terms, sin is not specifying a particular act you've done. It's telling us that we don't have the ability to be in God's presence because he's pure and holy, and we are not. We are filthy. We're undone. We are sinners. Amen. We have a blotch upon our life. We have a stain on our heart. We cannot be God. We're not perfect. We never will be. And if we decide to define sin like it is, we won't specify, oh, well, you say that homosexuality is a sin. Oh, you say that extramarital affair is a sin. Oh, did you say that if I sleep around before I get married, it's a sin. Oh, you say that if I indulge in alcohol and drugs, it's a sin. No, what I'm saying is you have a blotch on your heart. You're black as sin, and you can never stand before God with that sin. That's what I'm saying. You need Jesus Christ because you are undone. Amen. Don't specify a particular sin. You can go all night with that. It's what we are. And we are all undone in Jesus' eyes. And we need the Savior. Amen. But Satan goes around trying to deceive the world and all these things and try to change things that are against God and his word so that people will never understand that they're undone. Yeah. They're just going to understand that they're just trying the best they can. They're trying to live the best life they can. They're trying to be a good person and trying to accept everybody, rainbow, everybody who, let's have them all, let's accept everybody. We're all one big happy family. We're all undone. Yeah. It doesn't matter what sin you're in, but that you're undone. That you'll never be righteous like God, no matter how much you try. When they understand that, they'll forget about the particular things you're trying to say about them. And they'll say, oh, I get it. But Satan tries to deceive the nations. That's his job. He tries to turn everybody against Jesus and against Jesus, the people of Jesus, too. And that's us. That's why they're never going to be on our side. We're never going to agree. Because there's something that divides us in that sin. Brother Trump, if you remember him. Robert Trump. It is Trump. Didn't sound right because of all the things going on with that guy, right? But Robert Trump is a missionary to Germany. And we prayerfully support him. We don't financially support him. But he's been doing a lot of stuff. He loves street preaching and giving out gospel tracts and meeting people face to face. He's the one guy I've met when he was down here, as young as he is, that always has an answer for a question that's asked him. And he is ready. It don't matter what they say, what background, what craziness they come off the wall, he always has an immediate and perfect answer for them. And he was putting in his letter that I was reading, and he was telling about this story. And he in Germany, there's a lot of mixed people, a lot of different religions, a lot of lost people. That's why he's there. But there's also a lot of Muslims there. And he met one of the Muslims. He came up, and he said he was talking to him a little bit. And a Muslim was telling him that the Bible was corrupt. And Robert's answer was, well, when and where did it get corrupted? And then he kind of, well, I don't know, and, you know, all the details. And that's because according to Robert, and I believe him because I've done some study on that, is that what they tell people in their religion is that the Bible is corrupt. You can't not trust it. But that the Quran is perfect. And it's never changed throughout the years. And that's what this guy brought up later. He said, but the Quran is not changing. He said, well, that's funny because when I went online, he said, and compared the manuscripts, there was a difference. And a guy got changed the subject. But that is true. A lot of Muslims don't know that. They're just like any other religion. They just accept what they're taught. And they're taught that the Bible is corrupt and that the Quran is perfect, and they've never investigated themselves. Why would they? Sounds like a lot of Christians I know but don't know the Jesus Christ in this Bible. Why would they investigate it for themselves? I just believe what people tell me. That's why they're in the condition they are. Why do they believe that? Because Satan is the deceiver of nations. That's what his job is. That's what he does. That's why they can't see. That's why they're blind. Even the people that supposed to have known the Bible when Jesus was walking on the earth here, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they didn't even know who Jesus was. They didn't recognize him as Savior. They knew the Scriptures. Nicodemus came to him at night because he was afraid and wanted to find out more who he was. And Jesus told him, you must be born again. So how can that be? How can I enter my mother's womb a second time? He says, don't you know the Scriptures? He should have. He was a ruler and a leader in the synagogue. He should have known what the Scriptures said. He should have saw the prophecies. He should have saw Jesus fulfilling those prophecies and realized that he was the Christ. But because of blindness that Satan entered into their lives, they couldn't see that. And that's what he does. Satan's going to pay one day. But his job is identified here. He's the deceiver of nations. But you know what? One thing I like about this chapter, Satan's future is identified as well. Amen. Let's finish reading this. It's not too many. Just a few more verses here. He said in verse number 4, I saw the thrones and they that sat upon them, and the judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the souls of them, for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as of the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, there where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, for those for whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Satan is going to be thrown in the lake of fire and be there forever and ever. We're never going to have to deal with him one day soon. It's going to be after all this comes to pass, and after he tries to deceive billions of people to turn their back upon Jerusalem and the saints of God that are there while Jesus is reigning here. They're going to come and try to just take over that little old city and devour Jesus and all the saints. And God calls down fire from heaven and devours them all. And they all have their part with Satan in the lake of fire. But God tells us here that Satan's going to pay for what he's done. But he also mentions here that great white throne judgment. And it mentions here that death and hell gave up their dead, which means that those people who had died without Jesus Christ, died in their sins, died undone, died separated from God, went to hell. And then when they get in hell, they're only there temporarily until they meet God face to face. Every single soul that's ever been born on this earth is going to meet God, and on that great white throne judgment, they're going to be judged for the things that they've done, and their righteous works will not compare to Jesus and his righteousness, and they'll be cast into the lake of fire with Satan forever and ever. Amen. The Bible calls that the second death. It's a shame. They allowed themselves to get deceived by Satan, and now they're paying with Satan and for Satan. God doesn't want us to do that. Even as believers, we know that we're not going to stand before God in judgment. Jesus gave us his righteousness. That's the only way we can be on God's side and his child. He made us right. But you know what? As believers, we can still be deceived by Satan. That's his primary job. He's good at it. He knows how to deceive you. He knows how to make you believe lies that people say. He knows how he can turn your joy into discouragement just by one word from somebody sent your way. And guess what? He'll do that. He'll send somebody your way to tell you something that you'll believe and be deceived by. And all of a sudden, you lost your joy. Right. You can't serve God anymore. You don't want to go to church. You don't want to sing in a choir. You don't want to teach a Sunday school class. You don't want to be involved in this work of God anymore. You cry like a little baby. The first time I heard that little baby say anything. I heard him the other day say pastor, but that was, you know, it's just between me and her. God can deceive us. Satan can deceive us. I'm getting off track now. Sorry, it's already taped. That's what I hate about recording myself. All right. God will never deceive you. He'll never lead you wrong. He'll always be right. You can always be truthful. You can always rely on him. Just believe God and believe his word and stop listening to the others around you. Satan knows how to deceive you. He's good at it. If you don't see that snake in your grass, he'll send somebody else, and you'll see that person, and it takes your eyes off the snake. And you trust that person. You like that person. And you'll believe that person. Always use the word of God. If you ever hear anything that seems contrary to it, look it up. Because he'll use people that look like an angel of light to stand up before you and tell you wonderful and beautiful things that make you feel good. But it's not the Word of God. Prosperity preaching is not the Word of God. We need to live the whole Bible. That means sometimes we're going to get instruction. Sometimes we're going to get reproof. Sometimes we're going to get doctrine. We're going to get all kinds of stuff from God's Word. It's all part of it. But we need to know the truth. Don't let Satan deceive you. The devil will pay one day. And it's going to come soon. And I'm looking forward to that day when they're all standing before God. We're going to be on God's side and we're going to see Satan. And he's going to be thrown in the lake of fire. And it's going to bring tears of joy to our life, knowing that he'll never, ever deceive anyone else ever again. But until then, we need to understand he's out there. We know his name. We know what to call him. We know what he's up to. And we know what's going to happen in his future. Let's just believe God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's stand as we pray together.